Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
We're all familiar with the kinds of passions that various issues relating to companion animals evoke, and certainly those evoked by the plight of endangered species and typically particular endangered species. These issues tend to polarize people. Another issue that falls into that category of highly emotional, polarizing issues is the issue regarding cats preying on birds. In the past year or so, there have been several studies that have looked at the number of birds and small mammals that cats kill, and these have made the news. One study came up with a rather shocking estimate, and I repeat, those are estimates, 1.4 to 3.2 billion birds and 6.9 to 20.7 billion mammals are killed by cats annually. That particular study also pointed out that unowned cats are the source of most of that predation. These are free-roaming cats, barn cats, feral cats. And needless to say, people were just up in arms about this and wanted all feral cats slaughtered and, you know, the usual responses that people make when they don't take an ecological view of a problem, when they don't know enough to stand back and get a bigger picture. Other studies that didn't get nearly the attention of the predation studies were the studies that are looking at the effect bird feeding has on the bird population. But the bird feeding studies were difficult. They were difficult because those who were doing those studies realized just how complex the problem is. One interesting study was done in Germany. A little bird commonly referred to as a black cap, which looks very much like our chickadees. And a while back, one population of black caps decided to go to the UK to winter over, instead of flying south to Africa as generations and generations of black caps had done before then. Most people admit that climate change probably played a role in that. But there's also general agreement that there was so much food readily available in bird feeders in the UK was a factor too. What's interesting about this is that in just 30 generations, the population that flew to the UK started to look different from the population that flew to Africa. The UK birds who were getting the bulk of their food from feeders had rounder wings and longer beaks. Kind of reminded me of Darwin's finches and how the contours of the finches' beaks changed in response to their food supply. These and other changes are becoming sufficient that those birds are mating only with other birds of the same kind, and the same with the birds who come back from Africa. So it won't be very long until we have two distinct species, one of which evolved in part in response to the availability of an artificial food supply. Another concern about feeding is that some people aren't very good about keeping their feeders scrupulously clean. And because of this, birds are succumbing to mycoplasma conjunctivitis, an eye infection that makes the soft tissue around the eye inflamed, and there's a discharge. And I have to wonder whether birds with conjunctivitis are easier prey than those who are clear-eyed and capable of spotting predators. Another interesting thing about studying the effect of bird feeding on the bird populations is that it's hard to find a control population. So many birds are now relying on artificial food supplies of one source or another, it's difficult to find birds who aren't to compare them to. So we really can't say. And yet if one group of scientists is saying that, I have to wonder about these predation studies that don't seem to take that particular factor into account at all. And then the final piece in this ecological puzzle is, why do we feed the birds? Just about everybody I know who feeds the birds feeds them because they like to look at them. And it's a lot easier to put up a feeder and have all the birds come to you than having to tromp through the woods or the fields with your binoculars in hopes of getting a glimpse of them. But I do know that not only do birds congregate around feeders, so do small rodents. So I don't know what the complete answer is to the cat and bird problem. I certainly don't think we ought to be thinking about mass slaughter of cats or forcing everybody to keep their cats inside or walk them on a leash until we have some solid science behind this on both sides of the issue. We can't point to studies that say that of the 65 to 70 birds that are routinely monitored at feeding, that the majority of them have stable or increasing populations, and not ask ourselves what effect those increased populations are having on the ecological niches of other birds. Are we forcing some other birds out? Are we forcing them to behave in manners that set them up for easier predation? We don't know. And until we do know, I'm going to reserve judgment until we have an ecological view instead of just these isolated snippets that may or may not be biased.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.